You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
It's episode 20, I think.
Ish.
Yeah.
We think. And we're back live. Okay, lovely. Hey. Cool. Hello. I'm Nick. Lee is actually in New York still.
Yep.
Okay, in New York, feeling all flu-y, I believe. So that's not good. Deka is also feeling a little under the weather, so she was going to join us and won't be. So reigning supreme, we have Lisa, who probably has questions. And special guest today is Doxy.
Hi.
And we will be talking to her about a few things, including titties and clitties. Which, you know, a couple of my favorite things.
Two of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Surprise. And so I guess what we'll do is we'll go to Lisa first, and we'll do the Bar of the Week, and then we'll jump from there.
Yeah. So I think we may be having some technical issues on the Facebook Live feed, but as always, we want to start with the Bra of the Week. Nick, can you grab Betty appropriately, please?
Of course.
In an appropriate manner.
Yes.
And I don't recall if we've seen this bra before or not, but it's so pretty. It is a panache bra. Panache is the bra that we featured last week, the sports bra. This panache bra is actually a balconette. So it's got the kind of the cup that comes up maybe a little more than halfway, and then the top part of it is that stretchy lace. And then, Nick, if you turn it around, I think we've got a J-hook on. This one's called Jasmine. Oh, so this is actually, if it doesn't come with a J-hook, Lee sells these clear straps that will make a bra a J-hook.
That's so genius.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
So, yeah, so some bras actually come, like the sports bra that we did last week, Doxy, actually has its own J-hook made with the bra.
Hello.
So you can make it a racer back or, you know, have regular straps. This one is the separate, so you can buy them separately and make any bra that you currently own.
Oh, every woman should own that.
A J-hook. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So it's, and again, I'm not going to do it justice because Lee's the bra expert and I just sit here and talk. But as she said, the majority of the work that your bra does is the band. So you want to make sure that your band fits correctly. And then the remainder is the strap and the cup. So it's really this part of the bra is doing a majority of the work.
Makes sense.
And again, so the balconette, this is like what Lee's explained in the past is the stretchy lace kind of helps because if you don't want that quad boob.
Yeah.
You know, so some people, depending on the bra style and the fit, you end up with, you know, looking like you're something out of the Fifth Element. So this kind of stretchy lace at the top is helpful for that. And there's a matching panty. And I think, like I said, Lee could tell you a whole lot more about this particular bra and bras in general. But
I love the marbled look of the fabric.
Yeah, it's called... Yeah. It's called animal black, so it's but you can't really tell from the live feed though. It sort of looks maybe an animal print, but also kind of an acid wash.
It definitely looks like an acid wash.
Modeled.
Or like old marbled paper.
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, like the,
and I do a lot of painting, and that's what my that's what my tarps look like when I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. it's beautiful. It kind of gives you the idea of an animal print, but it's not like that straight up leopard cheetah look. So that is, and again, this is the Jasmine Balconette. And I'm just going to say this is a 38 double F bra. Betty generally wears a G, so it really depends on what brand and style of bra that you wear. I have things that are double D and some that are E and some that are F. So this one is a 38 double F.
Welcome to the horror of being a woman and trying to get clothing on our bodies.
Exactly.
There's no standardization in sizes.
Thank you. Thanks, Nick.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's interesting because of the way that the cups are manufactured, too. Like, they'll have some are three part, some are four part. And on our Twitter feed, we've put a few things up from there's a woman called the Lingerie Addict. Her name is Cora Harrington, but she's
a junkie.
She actually has a book coming out, so I'm interested in reading that. Comes out in August.
So is a Twitter feed showing pieces and educating people on what you said, three section,
so,
four
exactly.
section, four.
So like
I don't know these things.
Right. And so one of the things that she posted is how much construction and how many people it takes to make a bra. Like, you think it's small, not a big deal, but you know, like a shirt, like I sew, like that's, you know, more than just two pieces of fabric, but it's a couple of pieces of fabric and you just follow the lines.
But this is construction.
This is a construction project, and to get it to work right, and you know, it's got, you know, maybe 60 or 70 different pieces that need to go into it. And then she's also done one on I believe it was her that did one on different types of lace and why different laces are
different laces
different.
They
different
feel different
value.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Like, this is a soft lace.
Right.
Like, I hate scratchy lace.
Exactly.
Oh my God. This is flexible.
Right. And it, so. I mean, and this article talked about Chantilly lace and what the hell that is besides the song that's Chantilly in the Big Bopper. so we retweet her a lot nice. Because she's got some great educational information on that. So,
it just keeps cutting in.
Sorry on the Facebook people if you're trying to. Watch that feed.
I'm going to say the camera is cool. I like the camera on the tablet. It would be weird, though it doesn't connect.
So, well, and anybody who's listening to this is probably listening on SoundCloud, and they're like, whatever, we don't care. But so we're using Nick's tablet today because Lee's phone is with Lee. And Lee is in New York City at the Curve Expo, which is a huge lingerie buying event. That happens, I believe, twice a year. So they have one in New York City. Well, they have one in Vegas as well, but the two New York events are in late February and then again in August. And it's literally, you know, hundreds of lingerie, swimwear, bra retailers. And she goes to those and she can buy for the next 6 to 8 months.
She's in heaven right now.
Yeah. Well, and she met her, she's a super fan of Marlies Dekkers, who makes some really amazing fun bras that have like leather straps and
hooks
and all kinds of
already.
Fun stuff. Yeah. So she was meeting Marlies Dekkers last night.
Nice.
Unfortunately, she's been super under the weather and is still sick, but she made it out for that. So I'm looking forward to hearing next week about her interaction with Marlies Dekkers. She's pretty sure that Donatella Versace was at the event that she was at last night. So, hey, wow.
That's nice.
It's kind of high end.
Or was it just Maya Rudolph?
Right. It could have been Maya Rudolph. We don't know. And I tweeted out a picture of her with a Project Runway model who was at the actual expo during the day yesterday with Curvy Couture, who is one of the suppliers that Lee uses, posted something by Azure. I have a few Azure bras. They're really nice, pretty. Alomi. So she goes there and goes to kind of each of those vendors and sees what's going to be coming out in terms of fashion colors and all of that for the next season. Nice. I think Lee may be listening because I just got a text from her.
Okay, well, that's nice.
There was a Victoria's Secret model.
It was a Victoria's Secret model? Okay, that makes sense.
And, Frederica, the Victoria's Secret model, was also there.
Oh. How do you spell
it?
Hi, Lee.
I'm trying to Google Marlies Dekkers. I can't figure out her last name.
Oh, it's D-E-K-K-E-R-S.
What?
She's
Dutch. Say it again. Thank you.
Sorry.
She's from the Netherlands.
Yeah, it's D.
They reclaimed most of that country from the sea. K-K it does weird things to the language.
E-R-S.
I love you because I keep going up with Bob Marley stickers and lingerie. So, and like, oh, these are beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So Lee is texting us and I feel like, oh, gosh, the boss is watching. But she says, I am so fucking sick. So shout out to Lee. And she also went to Kinky Boots. So I can't wait to hear about that.
Oh,
nice.
Yay.
And also next week she has an assignment. Well, one, she's finished because she finished watching American Gods, Nick.
Oh, okay, great. Cool.
Oh my god, we need like five more seasons. I don't even watch
I know.
TV
I'm like, when's it coming back on?
So good.
Yeah, I know. Well, so, given the pace they're going at, I think we could probably do at least three.
Well, and so my sister and I had watched it for the second time with my sister when she was down visiting. She doesn't have cable up north, so we binge watched it, and then I got it for her for Christmas.
Right.
And she let her friend borrow it, and I got a text from her the other day that was a forward from her friend, but I didn't realize it at the time, and it was like, oh my god, what the fuck am I watching? There's giant dicks, holy balls. I think that the old gods are sadists. Yep. What is going on? And I'm like, she's already seen this, and then she's texting me again, and she's like, this is a text from my best friend who is now watching American Gods.
Well, it's kind of like, I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, but it's kind of like sitting people down to watch The Red Wedding, because that's always fun to see just people's responses and stuff. And it usually involves heavy alcohol use afterwards, you know. So,
you can just dial in a favor and get Ian McShane on, because...
Yeah.
No, he's got nothing to do.
Yeah, he's got nothing to do. Hi, Ian. you know what? I should reach out to Gwen next time they're in town.
You said I would be his kind of girl. So, isn't it amazing?
Okay, I'm going to tangent back to the God
The Marley Stuckers.
So this is a Garley Stuckers.
Garley Stuckers. Oh, this is
so
this is the Earl Lagerthal Balcony Bra. Oh,
isn't it amazing? So for those of you who can't see Doxy's phone, which is everyone but me, this is a Marlies Deckers bra that is like a natural color.
We'll post the picture.
It's a tawny leather.
Oh, great.
Yes.
We'll post the picture.
Ooh,
so it's a tawny
leather.
It's beige with like tawny leather straps. And oh, my gosh.
I actually generally love the word tawny. It's just a little,
I figured you
word.
Would, which is why.
It's
kind of
a beautiful word.
It's a little naughty and nice altogether.
Yes.
So American Gods, and then the other thing that is Lee's assignment, and now that she's on her way to the airport so she can listen to it, Lee,
yay,
is at least the Sid Vicious episode of Disgraced Land.
Oh, right.
Do you know of Disgraced Land?
No, but Roxy? I love, keep going.
Yeah.
I don't watch TV. This is great.
this is a podcast.
Well, okay. Thank
so,
you.
So it's called Disgraced Land, and the gentleman who does it, who I believe his name is Jake, he actually tweeted back to us when we talked about it last week, and he's interested to hear our thoughts on it. But it's a podcast all about shit that went down with people in the music industry. So the first episode is Sid and Nancy.
Yeah.
Another episode is on Jerry Lee Lewis, and not his 13-year-old child bride, but the fact that he may or may not have killed his fifth wife.
These are rumors.
Which I had never
this guy is
heard
notorious.
Before. Yeah. And so that was fascinating. And then she says she'll listen to Disgraceland.
Ooh, nice. There's one on Sam Cooke.
Yes, Sam Cooke's coming out next week. I think March 6th is the Sam Cooke episode.
Fun. How fun to be doing the research for those.
I know,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
And he's just like, his voice is fun. He's got like that kind of rock and roll, like, oh, well, Sid didn't care, you know, like I don't give a shit
so
kind
long.
Of voice,
yeah, exactly.
Which is perfect for this kind of podcast, you know. And he doesn't use any of the music, and he's like, here's this, like, you know, musical, it's, you know, like that music that you make with a keyboard that's recorded, you know, the pre-record.
Hilarious.
He's like, and we're not using, you know, Great Balls of Fire because I can't afford the licensing.
It's too expensive.
Right. So he's never listening to the shitty music. It's right. It's just
love this guy already.
Yeah. So next week, Lee's going to listen to Disgraced Land, and we're going to talk about her thoughts on that. We're going to talk about her thoughts on American Gods, season one.
Ooh. That's nice.
Season,
that's always fun.
Season two better be coming out soon. And she's going to tell us a little bit about her experience this week, which includes some sort of meditation and a shaman, but I'm going to let her hold on to that and talk to us about it next week.
Yeah.
Which Lee talks about psilocybin. That
should
be fun.
I'll be here for that.
Yeah, okay.
I have some samples.
The other thing, before we hear what Doxie is up to, the other thing I want to circle back to is, was it last week or the week before I talked about Musher Twitter?
You talked about Musher. Well, you've been wanting to talk about Musher Twitter.
But I actually talked about Musher Twitter.
You actually talked about it last week.
Last week. Okay. So yeah. While I was talking about Musher Twitter, I feel like adult now because I'm sitting here in a relatively warm studio talking about sled dog racing. And the woman I was talking to you about, Blair Braverman, was actually doing at the exact same time a 300-mile unassisted sled dog race through Saskatchewan.
Oh, wow.
Where it was 50 below zero.
Oh,
and Jesus. Typically, you know, there are checkpoints and you can have you have a handler who helps you, you know, feed the dogs at each checkpoint and things like that. And she had to do it all for herself as a qualifier for what's called the Yukon Quest.
Okay.
Which is a much longer race. So they have to prove that they can do these shorter races.
Right.
Yep.
The shorter race, the 300 shorter.
300 mile. Yes. Yeah. 3-day race. So she was off like doing that in the middle of the backwoods of Saskatchewan. And here I am going on and on about.
She's hardcore.
Twitter. She's hardcore.
Yeah. Saskatchewan is one of the coldest places.
Fucking cold.
God's own.
Yeah.
The bitch gets balls.
Yeah, right. She does. Yeah. So so they are now headed up. They are going up to Alaska.
So she qualified.
No, I don't know if she qualified. Okay. I think they have to do a bunch of calculations and like I don't know if there's an algorithm or what, but like how it works for the qualification. I don't think it's like you cross the finish line and you qualify. But she did cross the finish line, which is amazing because I think three racers had to scratch because, you know, they're worried about their dog's health and their health and things like that. So they have like a help button where it's like, eh, I'm out. She made it. She crossed the finish line. But no, the Iditarod is next weekend.
Okay.
Or this weekend. Actually, I think it starts this weekend. The first weekend of March.
Yes, this weekend.
Yeah. So they are actually going up to volunteer at the Iditarod.
Ah, nice. Okay.
Good way to build relationships.
Is that his name? No, Quince.
Quince Mountain.
Quince Mountain. Is he also going to be...
He's going up there. They're both volunteering, but I think he generally serves as... I think he's one of her handlers and helpers on most races.
Okay.
And then I think he also is a beekeeper in the summer months.
Fun stuff.
Yay.
Yeah, they sound like a fascinating couple.
They
I'd love
do.
To have them
they
on
do.
Dinner.
Yes.
and their dogs.
Do they come down? Are they ever coming through Michigan? Because that seems like a fun...
I believe they've done the Upper Peninsula. There are some races in the Upper Peninsula
that
and Northern
sounds about
Lower.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know that they're ever coming through Southeast Michigan.
Well, you have the in on Musher Twitter. You need to send them an invitation.
Yeah. Any mushers who want to stop in Detroit, come on through. We'd love to have you.
Bring the dogs.
We'd love to have you.
You know,
the
Podcast Detroit does have a field unit. So, you know.
And I got
to
say,
we could go to the dogs.
If you
as long as
it's right,
too
right,
far away.
Well, right, not the 8-hour drive to Copper Harbor. Well, Copper Harbor isn't even longer than 8-hour drive from
Copper
here.
Copper Harbor's like about.
But yeah, so the Marquette had a race, and I think they were in that. Which that's 4 hours
that's,
from my hometown, which
mile.
Is 4 hours from here. So that's an 8-hour drive.
Yeah,
that's
an 8-hour.
So anyway, Musher Twitter and. If you do check out Musher Twitter and Blair Braverman and Quince Mountain, and there are several others, but those are like I'm crushing on those two. They post pictures of their doggies all the time, and you can show me a picture of a baby, and I'm like whatever, but show me a picture of a dog, and I'm like
you're one of those people.
I am. I'm totally one of those people. So she has a dog. I think my favorite might be Boudica. So
that was my dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's got a Boudica. Boudica is beautiful.
Is this a brand of dog?
They're all Huskies. No, Boudica is the name.
You know the names of them, you guys.
Yeah, she's got Harry, who is named after Bean. So he's Harry Covert.
Yeah.
He's blind.
Wow.
But he's still... He's still a working dog. So, yeah, I'm telling you, I'm sucked into Musher Twitter. they actually have an event right now where you can... it's like fantasy football, but it's fantasy mushing. I don't understand the rules or anything, but you can go on to Musher Twitter if you are interested in doing fantasy sled dogging.
Like,
and you could
number
you can get
of miles
team.
Traveled.
Or... I think there's a whole lot of that, like numbers of miles traveled. Who's going to pick what dogs for when? Because you know you can change out the dogs, and who's going to be?
I like what we learned last week that like certain dogs are just like you know have like unworthy fame thrust upon them, while yes. others who are unsung just you know
Team Togo,
yeah, Team Togo, exactly.
So yeah, last week we talked about the Serum Run, which is you know if you know the Disney movie Balto, the cartoon. So Balto was like the famous dog. There's a sculpture of him in Central Park and all of that. And he crossed the finish line and he ran 55 miles. But there's another dog that
ran
really
most
ran
of it,
a huge part of it, and was 12 years old when he ran it. Which I'm like, old people dogs, yeah. Yay!
My favorite thing is that Balto is actually the statue of Balto is covered with the medals and awards that were actually given to the older dog.
Older dog, yeah. That's the rumor.
Balto is basically, you know, Kenneth Branagh from the Harry Potter movies.
He's got a good manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know how to brand him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, he did his part. He just,
and so did the other one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, anyway, that's an update on Musher Twitter and Blair's experience with the 300 mile race in 50 below zero weather while we're sitting in a 45 degree podcasting studio.
We are lucky.
450. It's probably warmer than that. It's slightly chilly. It's not 50 below.
No.
So we want to talk about Doxy and what she's doing and also lady stuff. So Nick, where do you want
to
go first?
Well, let's talk to Doxy. And then we can come, and then after we've done that, we'll come back to the delightful topic of needlessly gendered things.
Yes.
Because that came up.
that came up this morning.
Nice. So, hello, Doxy.
Hello.
Hello. So, you've actually been on the podcast before, back when we were in the holding cell.
Yep.
In things, which I still find
is that
a
the
really weird
Detroit
place.
Detroit studio?
The Detroit studio, yeah. The
I've
Detroit studio is... it's down some suspiciously easy to trip down stairs in an old police station.
Sounds Southwest Detroit.
Sounds
yeah,
haunted.
Southwest Detroit. Yeah, I'm sure. And you're in what was a cell.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's kind of cool.
I mean, it's covered in this stuff, so you can't.
So
really
it's kind of like if you guys have been up to the old sanitarium in Traverse City that they renovated, and they the restaurant now, right? They're part of it is there's a little restaurant that actually has like. Some of the old cells, the tables are in each of them.
Yeah, cool. part of it's a restaurant. There's other parts where they can't because, you know, the unquiet spirits.
Right,
won't allow any kind of prep or orders right. to happen.
They just start throwing
salad. Or they will,
exactly. I ordered the beef. Why does it have eyes still? And why is it screaming at me?
That reminds me of what I watched last night, but we'll talk about that after, too.
Let's talk to Doxy. So, tell us a little bit about yourself again, Doxy. And then we'll talk about the titties and clitties.
Titties and clitties. Hi, I'm Doxy, Doxy Detroit. And I do a lot of things. I don't even know how I met Lee, but I actually fell in love with her and then found out about this fun little project. So I'm willing to play with you guys at any time.
Okay.
Avid Detroiter, live in Detroit, play in Detroit. I like to facilitate the dreams of others.
Mm-hmm.
Let your brain figure that one out.
Yeah.
I do a lot of community projects and art projects in the city. And one of them happens at the Dirty Show. This year was our 12th anniversary for being at the Dirty Show. And this year's anniversary of the Dirty Show was 19 years.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to believe, right?
Jerry does some
Jerry Vile.
Yes.
Jerry does really interesting stuff. It's funny because for years, Jerry didn't even know what we did at the Dirty Show. Which is hilarious.
That also
because it happens in a private
consistent.
Space. Well, it's a private space, you know. Yeah. And you know, we have a booth outside and table, and people talk about it. And then you come into a booth, the door shuts, and then that's where the magic happens.
Right.
So I remember one year, maybe 5-6 years ago, Jerry calls me. He's like, "Hey, are you a lesbian?" And I was like, "Hi." how are you? And I'm like,
seems like an odd first question.
Yeah. Okay, welcome to my life. And I was like, so what's the question for? And he's like, well, I have somebody who wants to do an interview of a lesbian, and I thought of you because of what you do is art. And I was like, oh, that's so nice of you. I do love cunts, and I do love, you know, vaginas, and but no. So I, as much as I want to take the press from this, and I could fib it,
but
I can't
not in that
do
way.
That. He's like, right. All right, goodbye, click. And I was like, ah. So maybe a few years later, he still has no idea. And I'm not going to lie, he's incredibly generous to us. He, you know, we are very lucky that he just lets us do this thing. He has no idea what we do, but women walk out of our booth happy. Ding, you know. And I'm keeping it veiled right now. So so then another year, one of his girlfriends was at the event. And I was like, come in. I want to show you what we do. And she's like, no, I didn't have time. I was like, okay, another year, you know. And then, right. then finally the next year she came and we did a print of her and we had her have the experience of what we do in our booth. And I don't even know if she ever told him. And like, they're not even together anymore. So I still have no idea. Last year he came up to me and he's like, I have a woman. She's going to cut in line. He's like, yes, she is. She's first. Hi.
I love the phrasing.
And I was like, all right, come on in, babe. He didn't come in. So he still has not seen what we do and the service that we offer.
But he sent in a scout.
I'm intrigued.
But he wanted to give someone an experience. Yeah, I mean, they were a visiting artist from somewhere.
Right.
And I was like, come on in, honey, take your clothes off. So yeah, it was pretty
okay, cool. I'm intrigued. So I know of the Dirty Show. I've never been to the Dirty Show.
It's an erotic art exhibition of every different kind of medium you can think of. And then there's live performers and then there's people on stage and there's boylesque and burlesque and there is some people call it pornographic.
Boylesque.
The art boylesque is pretty hot.
Oh,
I love burlesque.
The artwork has gotten so much better, I think, over the years.
Incidentally, you bring up boylesque. Mm-hmm. So, I just a quick aside. A friend of mine down in Atlanta wanted to know about podcast recommendations, and he's a boylesque performer.
Yay!
So, sketch. If you watch this, if you can watch this, or you listen to this, I will send you the link. The Dirty Show is something you should maybe look into.
Oh, come perform.
Come up and perform.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next year's the 20th anniversary. I'm
exactly.
sure it will be a blow up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Sketch also is the animator for the show Squidbillies, if you ever seen
it. That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Good tangent. I like that.
And we're back. All right.
So,
cool.
That's a good tangent.
So it just recently happened, right?
It always happens the weekend before and after the Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's two weekends. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Titties and Clitties does not do Sunday. And then the following Saturday, Friday and Saturday. And this year, the first weekend was the horrible weather. But we were busy the whole time.
I believe that's the weekend we went to the con.
The weekend was pretty miserable. Yeah.
The roads were horrible.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
And it's always like the last Saturday is like the big blowout, crazy party, super fun. Mm-hmm. But like tickets sell out, if I'm not mistaken, every night. So it's definitely a thing that you want to get to and get your tickets.
Right.
And next year, I said, 20th anniversary. I'm totally
getting Yeah, that's going to be a big like deal.
That. Yeah.
We have some really cute outfits at Boston that people could wear. Like the long line bra I have.
Hello.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and you can wear, like, here's a lot of people dress up. Like, they, mm-hmm. you know, and some people have no idea, like, I'm going to the Dirty Show. It's kind of like, you know, those of us who are like perform there and do things, we're like the underbelly of the world performing for, you know, suburbanites who like, this is like a hot thing for them.
Right.
Right.
This is
right.
like the date of the year, you know,
right.
and hello, welcome, you know, come play with us, you know, and you get a little micro dose of what's, you know, kinky. And for them, that's probably like great foreplay. And like some of them will dress up and they have these great outfits on. You can literally wear anything you want there as long as your nipples are covered. Like if I cover you in paint, which is part of our project, you are able to walk out as long as your nipples are covered. Vice can't get you. Oh, and your vagina too. Duh.
Right.
But yeah. I mean,
because they're terrifying.
Like, oh, can't have those out.
They have teeth and they will eat you.
But nipples,
vagina,
man,
dental.
They're
dangerous. Just dangerous.
Just the
Yeah. So do you do body painting?
Kind of. Yes. So we create an intimate experience for women, and it is I live an experiential life. I want my turn at everything, right? So let me back up. In 2007, friends of mine, Athena, Monkey, and Rabbit. Yes, we're all humans, but we all have these lovely little nicknames. We were raising some money for the Detroit Dream Project, the temple up in Brightmoor. It's still there. It's by the Redford Theater.
We had a matching grant that we had to do, and this was just a fun way for us to make money. So we started doing prints of our bodies and our vaginas and selling them at the Dirty Show. Sure. And then we were like, well, let's do live printing. So we started doing prints of people who were there, and it was great. Obviously, those sold better than our own. then the temple got built, and then I was like, well, this is silly not to keep doing this. So I started doing this for another fundraiser that I have, which is Burners Without Borders Detroit, the Homeless Backpack mm-hmm. Project.
Yeah.
So this is our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's kind of funny. So it's called Love a Cunt, Titties and Clitties, and it's a very intimate experience. And so I pull you in, and you are, I have a small little thing I can read to give an explanation of it before I go into it. So, it offers women the experience of being the subject of an intimate performance piece, where they are the canvas, the medium, and the art. So, every woman is a unique and lovely creature, just as every breast and cunt is unique and incredible. Therefore, each print that is made of your body will be one of a kind, will be a one-of-a-kind impression of the foundation of your femininity. Some will produce abstract art. Some will produce very anatomical pieces. So we no longer do cunts. That's a lot of work.
Imagine. It gets a little messy. The cleanup is really messy.
And it was the very first year we actually did we did penis prints as well, but you had to have a fluffer, and it was a lot of work. And it was fun. Like, we'll do
logistically,
that.
Logistically, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, we do that in private
you
now.
You would think not, but yeah, men have a terrible performance.
Oh, yeah. Well, hence the fluffers.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And they were good at what they did. But this is about serving women. You know, it's love a cunt, titties and clitties. Women are mean to each other.
True.
Watch me look at you. You know what I just did to you. For those in the audience who don't know, I just gave her that 2-second look where I just sized her
up. The mean girl's look.
The mean girl look, yeah. Like, we judge each other quickly, and, you know, and it's horrible. If we can be vulnerable to each other, we can strengthen each other, and, you know, I'm with you, you know? And
that's what
we do, you know? I don't want to be, I don't want people to be judgy and all this. And so this is a safe space for us. Mm-hmm. Like, on the outside, we're selling, you know, we call them vag badges. They're felt badges made out of, to look like vaginas. And we have wood badges that look like vaginas, and they're keychains. And then we have, like, cunt cups and cunt coasters. And, like, we have this thing, you know, big sign that says love a cunt. And we got a big sign that says we get chicks naked. And that's the cut phrase. Like, we get chicks naked to help the homeless.
Right.
And on the outside, it's at the Dirty Show. So it's flamboyant and it's fun. And, like, you know, we're playing with people and it's sexy. And then when you come into the private space where I'm at, or one of the other printers, that drops. This is a space where we're serving you. I'm there to take care of you. I'm there to tend to you. I'm there to give you a moment off, and I print you. So what happens is the ladies on the outside are selling this. The ladies on the outside are selling and explaining what it is. They're explaining that we're raising money for the homeless. All the money that we raise goes to our homeless backpack project.
Sure.
So you come into the space. Actually, we'd set up differently now. The people who organize this, Jessica and Gretchen and all these people, you guys are amazing. They all do this. They're on the outside selling mm-hmm. and organizing. I'm horrible at that. So I'm in the inside just printing and, like, in my little safe space too. But you pick 3 colors that you want. You come into our space. There are 16 by 20 canvases painted black. So you've got your colors. You strip from the waist up. And I paint you. I put the canvas between us. And then I hug you. And you are the impression that's left. Mm. So you're the artwork. So you're the canvas.
So
you're the
really
medium.
You're giving visual imagery to a hug.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And the beauty of who you are. Right. Yeah. So, and some of them, like, the colors that women pick are, like, beautiful and outrageous and fun. And, like, and they have so much fun picking their colors. Like, I don't know. And they'll spend, you know, however long they need to spend,
I have a hard enough
know?
Time picking out nail polish at the at the nail polish
yeah
place.
And so we were like they'll like put their hands up like, you decide, you're the artist. I'm like, honey, we're collaborating. What's your favorite color? Let's start there. Or if they're making it as a gift for somebody, you know. And what it is it's all of us have when we're in this intimate space. It's, you know, me and you, and you're naked. Like, you're naked, not only just your clothes off, like, you're coming into a space with a woman you don't know.
Right.
You know, you've been talking to women outside who are making you feel comfortable and explaining it to you. And then I come in there and I serve you. Right. So I'm there to help you be comfortable with I'm helping you and helping me and all of us become more comfortable in our bodies.
Like, I have hang-ups about my body. You know, I was anorexic at 14. I've had body image issues ever since. I'm now a woman of a certain age. So, like, some of those 14-year-old brain thoughts are coming back, you know, and I'm just like, whoa, where'd that little person come from? So I want all of us to feel comfortable with who we are. All of us have cellulite. A lot of us have stretch marks. A lot of us have these hang-ups in what we're, you know, and with these vessels that we're in. And this is us explaining to women, like, yo, cunt, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not judging you by the body that you're in. I'm judging you by who you are. And the body that you're in is beautiful. Like, women come in and they're like, you know, they're hiding and they're uncomfortable. And like, they're, you know, they're trying to like, don't show my fat or don't show my stretch marks. I'm like, honey, none of that's going to print. And it doesn't matter anyways. That's who you are. If you, especially if you have stretch marks, I'm like, you made a baby.
Right, exactly.
Like, that is
right.
Like, that's something an, with that body. That's an award, you know? Like, look at that beautiful thing on you. Like, you just made a human, yeah. You know? And a lot of men, they're allowed to bring who they want into the booth as well. And like, so like, I'll be having these intimate conversations, and like, sometimes people are partying in there. Most of the times it's an intimate partner. And like, we're having these conversations and the partner's like, listen to her. Like, you know, you guys are like, we're having these great conversations and the
right,
men
like
are
the
like,
partner sees the beauty, but and the, we and see the,
we see all the flaws.
Hair and there's a mole.
Oh my God,
here,
there might be hair on my nipple or there's a pucker on my leg. And like, I have all of these issues. Like, you know, I think of all this stuff, and then the men are like, they have to listen to the women self-deprecate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we all do it. I hope not all of us do. Like, you know, I'm constantly working on it too. And so what we're doing is he understands it and he wants her to hear it from us. Like, it doesn't matter what he thinks, you know, like she's not going to listen to him, but maybe she'll like, if we're all talking together, we can get over this together because I love you for who you are. And then you walk away with a beautiful print.
So it's therapy and art.
Oh my God! It's so
and it raises
much work.
Money for all the
and it raises
the
and it raises money for the homeless.
Exactly.
Sounds amazing. Well, and one of the things that, as you were explaining this, that I was thinking is that it's interesting that it's really to have someone take care of you is a position of vulnerability. Mm-hmm, like it puts the person getting care. In a vulnerable position.
Women are used to taking care of everyone.
Right.
We do all the things.
If I let you help me, then I might show that I have need.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And so like some women will be like, they'll try to grab the baby wipes. I'm like, girlfriend, put your hand down. I'm like, I will clean you as well. So you take your clothes off. I do the rest. Right.
Right.
You know, but yeah, you do have a job. Like when, you know, when I ask you to stand still, ground yourself, and then I hug you and then I'll whisper in your ear, hug me. You know, and then that makes the print
a
little darker.
Yeah, closer against
and it makes
a
better print. Yeah. And then I literally take baby wipes and I completely wash you down. And then I walk out of the room, and you know, you have a few moments to do whatever you need to do, and then I walk out.
Yeah, that's good actually, because ritual bathing is actually a very important thing that we don't do much these days.
Right. Wow, I never even thought of ritual bathing.
It's basically
totally
a ritual bathing is what you're doing, which is something that humans have done. Okay, so like, for example, we always talk, there's a phrase for sex work where people talk about it being the oldest profession.
Yeah.
But the oldest profession is really beautician or hairdresser or ritual bather, because even before humans were humans, they groomed one another. And that's actually the oldest profession is... And the oldest expression, also the oldest expression of human connectivity is grooming.
Right.
So
that's interesting, Nick, because I can't ask you this question, given your hair situation. But what, like, when you go to get your hair cut,
oh my God,
what is the best part about it?
I love someone washing my hair.
It's getting your hair shampooed by someone else.
Yes.
Oh my God. Right?
And, like, I love showering with partners, right? And I'm like, just wash my hair.
Just wash my hair.
Just wash my hair.
Yeah, and that's like,
you put
it's
your
like
head
really
in that
like,
bowl.
Like, you don't
oh my
even
God, I never even thought of this.
Like,
Yeah.
Showing your dick to me, I don't give a shit. You know, like, but wash my hair and.
Yeah.
Yeah, something's gonna happen.
So that's why some people have a thing about like shaving their partner's legs or something like that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
I've shaved many a testicles.
Yeah,
it's a very
you know
intimate,
what I mean. It's
thing.
Like a, it's yeah. a
oh God, that
it's a very delicate it's a delicate
trust,
thing, right? But it's a trust and it's also
I don't know
a
that
connect,
I trust myself. A bit of a tremor. I don't know.
As long as you're not using a straight edge, everything's good.
Yeah, but yeah. So I have handled more boobs than everybody in this room times five, probably. But it's not about, like, you know,
boobs. It's because, which is funny thing is, like this year I wasn't supposed to work. I was only supposed to work one night. I ended up working all four nights.
Right.
Now last night I was done. This is when you mentioned therapy. Like it's therapy for me as well. Mm-hmm. Like I get to support and give love. I'm a servant. I serve in everything I do. Right. I'm a librarian. I'm a notary. I can marry you. Like everything I do is I serve people.
We might need to talk after this.
All right. Wait. Let me just do a tangent. Like. I'm exhausted by the end of this mm-hmm. because of all the energy that I put out.
It's an emotionally.
It's emotionally
draining.
And it
can be good, but you still have an emotional energy
absolutely.
Exchange.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's good stuff. And like, there are women who have cried in my arms because of this, you mm-hmm. know, because they're like so, like, this is such a hard thing for some women. Mind you, there's other women, by the time I turn around, their clothes are already off. I'm like, whoa, slow down.
you were saying that I'm the second kind, whatever, I'll take things off, but it starts out in gym class in junior high, right? Like you have to have gym with other people and you change. And
I didn't.
Like you,
hell no. I was one of those girls.
Hide,
like, yep.
You know, they're hiding in a corner, like changing, and everything
I was that 14-year-old
is a body
girl.
Shame thing, right? It's
for sure.
I'm not. Regardless, I mean, you could be the hottest.
It
girl
doesn't
in
matter.
The school, and right. you are like, I don't want other people to see
I
this
have the
because
skinniest
I have
girls
this
come in and talk about like, oh, I'm so fat, or they're like, oh,
right. I have
a fat
a
show, and like,
or,
I'm just like, oh, baby, you're beautiful, you're
right.
beautiful, you know.
And I joked to someone the other day, I'm like, you know, if I had a time machine, I wouldn't go back and kill Hitler. I go back and beat the shit out of my younger self.
Yeah, right.
You know, yeah. for doing all the stuff to myself that I did.
Go back and like beat up media that makes us live up to these expectations, which are completely unattainable.
Right.
Right.
I'm like literally watching TV and I'm like, every single woman on there is wearing fake eyelashes and I'm supposed to have the same kind of fucking eyelashes?
Well, yeah. I mean, hello, look at Photoshop. It makes us think we need to look like whatever.
Right. Everything's
you know?
Airbrushed. Like,
yep.
I love the celebrities who have recently said,
yes.
you know what, I'm going to be on a cover of a magazine without all of the airbrushing.
Did you see the new Lane Bryant advertisement?
No.
Which
boom!
Okay.
No.
Yes. Okay. This woman has, I'll find it.
She has cellulite?
Go.
Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. Doxy can find the picture, but I had to have someone tell me what was significant about it because I'm looking at it. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
What? But yeah, apparently there are stretch marks in there.
Yeah.
I'm like,
we see it all though. We do. And Lee just
we magnify everything.
We do.
Yeah. We don't just see it. We see it magnified.
Yes. I thought it was actually something about the lacing in the particular garment.
You're like, I'm not seeing the garment issue.
You're adorable.
I think she's really pretty.
Yeah,
and
she's beautiful.
I don't see the
funny. I think she's real pretty. You don't even see her face. It's just her body.
Huh. Yeah.
Right? Yes.
And Lee just mentioned, texting me that in this, I had kind of thought about it too, but hadn't said it. The dressing room is a similar place, you know, where you're in a situation, you know, Lee's not hugging and body painting, but it's in a situation where she experiences it too, especially with younger girls who are just starting down their path of, you know, having breasts and trying to figure out what the hell to do with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be a very sensitive place for them, for all women, of course, and then for some in the community who are trans. You know, she's working with a lot of populations who have body issues just because of the media, but also because of other things that they're going through in their lives, just emotional.
Yeah.
Hormonal changes and things like that.
It's an incredibly vulnerable place to be naked in front of somebody. So, like, I mean, you're naked, but you're naked.
Exactly.
Like you take off this armor
you
of
have
these
the
clothing
right.
that we have. Like, I've got this shield. Like, you know, I got this style, you know. But when I'm naked, that's totally different. It's gone.
That's all me.
Yeah, right? So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And, like, think about the lighting in those places. It makes you even, you know, more horrible. So, see, these are some of the Lane Bryant ads. Like, they're real women with real curves.
Oh, wow,
and they've got, like, their cellulite showing. And
yes,
sure, like,
I see your streaks in their stomach.
Yeah,
but, like,
exactly.
You know,
it's just your humans.
The baby stretch marks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and Lee, I'm going to read her text because I miss you too, Lee. she says, the biggest competition is the mirror. We have to start finding the beauty in ourselves.
Absolutely. And how do we
do
this?
I think you're helping do that.
Yeah. It's about taking away the competition from other women, too. Like, if I tell women they're beautiful all the time. Like, I've been doing this, like, since I was in my 20s, and Hence, which perpetuates the whole, like, you're lesbian. I'm like, right. Oh, okay. I love women more than most women. I'm like the gayest straight girl ever. Like, I love women. I love looking at women. I love looking at the curves
well, I mean,
of women.
We're beautiful. So we have beautiful bodies. Well, no offense,
absolutely.
Nick,
oh, I guys have great bodies too, especially that on that little part. But anyways, but
right, yeah. There's some, so, but no. But I mean, like, but women just the breasts.
We need to
and
compliment
the
each other, and we don't. We have this bullshit idea that. It's a societal construct that, you know, I'm going to compete with you and media is going to make me compete with you because
I have to be prettier. I have to be smarter.
Which is
I have to
bullshit
be the best.
Because guess what that does? It makes me give my energy to you instead of giving my energy to the things it needs to go towards, which changing, you know, society. So,
oh, time.
10:48.
Oh, cool.
10,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll try to work to eliminate. I'm not going to try. I'm going to work to eliminate the competition. I tell women all the time, I think you're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's like, what I was thinking of when you said that. Yeah, I have always felt like, you know what? Tell people when you compliment them because you could be having
it's
a
free,
shitty day and
Jesus.
Somebody comes up to you and I'm like, I'll preface it with, okay, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but you have the most beautiful eyes that I've ever seen. You know, like,
don't preface it anymore. Screw the preface. Just think you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we don't need to, like, put this, like, because you're doing that because you're like, I'm breaking social norms.
Right.
I'm going
I'm not
to
supposed to talk to you.
Right.
Yeah, fuck that. Just say hi. And then but don't make it be with some false compliment. I had a girlfriend once.
No.
Every time she sees me, she's like, oh, that's a nice, beautiful scarf you're wearing.
You're like,
there,
I'm sure
Nick.
You read that book, like, to tell you, like, make one compliment.
Jesus Christ, it was so false. Like, I wanted to punch her in the face. I loved her, but I still wanted to punch her in the face. I'm like, don't be false about it. Yeah. Just
stop it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I do think it's great to give compliments. It's great to give compliments in a universal way, too, because one of the things that will often come up is about the fact that, and this will lead on to our needlessly gendered things.
Yes.
Look at this.
Well done.
I'm working.
Well done.
Wait, I could have done that, too, because we do print men chests.
You do print men chests? That's
last
nice.
Last year, we had a guy who was so hairy, and when he pulled it, when I pulled it away from him,
it was like Nads.
I thought that was really cool.
It was like these little, oh, my God, it was so great. And the texture's still there. I saw the print last week.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's so great.
So, you know, there's often the thing that people talk about, like, you know, women get complimented on physicality and, you know, you wouldn't do that to men. I read that years ago and I do at least attempt to, like, compliment prettiness regardless.
Yeah.
So, like, I was down at the DIA, like,
I see a pretty man, I'm telling him he's pretty.
Uh-huh,
well, yeah, it's different though when a man does it though. When a man tells another man, hey, love your hair.
Because
that
of
is
our
beautiful
culture.
Hair.
Yep,
yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And that's a gendered thing. And that's the way in which we needlessly gender stuff.
Is it an American thing? Because you, look
you know
at the
what?
Intimacy
I mean,
of, like,
if you've ever listened to Legally Blonde the musical, which is one of the greatest musicals ever, there's that song Gay or European about whether there's a guy in it who they
Google
can't
him.
Work out whether he's
Gay or straight.
Or straight, and they go,
oh, he's European.
But he's European. Okay, so, I mean, even as someone who's British, and we're terribly reserved, I do tend to compliment people regardless, whether it's like, if it's pieces of clothing I like, because clearly I like,
you're a fashionista.
I like clothing.
Yes.
So I will do that, and if it comes from me, you know, I think people can look and say, like, well, this person actually likes clothes.
Exactly, yeah.
So that. But I also compliment, because there is one guy, he's a security guard down at the DIA. I have no idea who he is. I'll probably never see him again. But when I was passing by, he had really great hair. So I was like, your hair is really good.
Why not? It's like, we break the little bubbles that we have around each other. And, like, the whole, like, the thing that we have, all these things that are distracting us. Just reach out and say something to someone. It may lead to a great friendship, relationship, whatever.
Right.
It can be anything. Just say hi. Doesn't mean I want to fuck you.
And
even if
it doesn't,
it's
saying
just
hi
a
to good
brief
interaction.
Of,
yeah.
Of happiness.
A few minute interaction. Because it might, like you're saying, that
spread
person
the happy.
Might be having a bad day or whatever. And, like,
exactly.
Just walk down the street happy. Like, there's a building I'm working in downtown, and I have, apparently this is called an apple hat. Apparently it's a style.
Thank you. You know this.
Yep. So the guy last night, he's like, oh, you got a black apple hat. I like the brown one better. And I'm like, Apple, like, yeah. I don't get it. And so we had a conversation. So I would have never chit-chatted with this dude if he didn't, like, dig my hat. You know, and he's like, I got a brown leather one. I'm like, ooh, you're going to wear it tomorrow? I want to see it. You know, so, like, that's how we're going to build, like, our friendship, you know?
Exactly. And on the subject of needlessly gendered. So here's the thing. There have been a couple of stories recently about things which are aimed at gendered, at men or women specifically.
Mostly women. Mostly.
Mostly women.
If I know where this conversation's going.
although there are sometimes equally ludicrous things for men, but the ones which have been higher profile have been the ones aimed at women. And the one I saw this morning was Johnny Walker is bringing out Jane Walker, which is whiskey, scotch, for women, because apparently women are intimidated by whiskey, which which like amazes me because most of the people I know who are really into whiskey
are women.
Are women. I know a few men who are like really boring about scotch, but most of the biggest fans of whiskey I know are women. And I find it hilarious that
Buy this product. Do not fall into this advertising crap. Here's another one. Nair for men.
Are you kidding? Because you can't
buy the packaging. It's blue and silver and black.
Because you can't buy the pink bottle. Yeah. It's already there.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. You know, you're gay if you buy that.
The ingredients are the same, but the packaging says this is for men.
This one's probably more expensive. Although usually it's the other way around.
I wish you guys could have seen Jess's face when Nick mentioned that, because she was just like, what the fuck?
Don't give in. Everybody
loves whiskey.
And that's what I said. And I'm like, you know what? It's not that I'm intimidated by fucking scotch. I don't like scotch because it tastes like moss. Like, it's not because, I'm afraid of a Johnny Walker label.
Bear in mind, a lot of Johnny Walker is like blends. So it's not like it's even like really highfalutin scotch. It's a blend.
And so Nick and I were kind of talking about this a little bit beforehand, because a couple weeks ago, you know, the Lady Doritos thing came out, that the CEO of PepsiCo, who is a woman, had done an interview with Freakonomics Radio, which is a podcast I listen to. So I was on a flight back from Phoenix and I'm listening to her. And then all of a sudden it blows up on Twitter. And she's talking about how, you know, women eat Doritos differently than men because they don't like to lick their fingers of the chip dust. And they don't like, you know, men will tip back the bag and eat the crumbs.
I do all these things.
And they don't want to crunch. And I'm like, well, I guess I eat Doritos like a dude then.
Me too.
I'm licking my fingers. I'm eating every damn chip in that bag, even the little crumbs.
I like the crumbs the best.
We're developing a product.
I hate Doritos.
Will eat, so they're like, they don't crunch as loud. I'm like, so basically, you're gonna like open the bag and let it sit there for 2 weeks.
So I'm gonna have stale
Doritos. The person on Freakonomics calling her out for lying and like just bullshit?
No, they were just like, you know, it's a CEO of a company.
I want a bullshit bell.
Right.
Bullshit bell. That's fucking stupid.
It's absolutely retarded.
There have even been people where they've done research on like drinks where they won't do straws for men because it's not manly to drink through a straw.
Correct.
To put like something that's longer than it is wide in the mouth. It's unmanly to use a straw.
So what, have they developed round bananas yet?
I don't know. Well, yeah, exactly. The thing is, though.
So we'll call them bananas.
Yeah, bananas. Bananas.
Not to be confused with manana.
Yes, exactly.
Hilarious.
Which, though, actually, everyone should drink like a man then, because plastic drinking straws are terrible.
Guess what I drank my smoothie out of this morning? A glass straw. Glass straw. Thank you, Jenna. It was amazing. Yes, it was gifted to me last night, and that was just kind of cool.
So they're like microbeads. Don't buy stuff with microbeads in it, because it's actually plastic, which I never knew.
Now we do.
Until now we do, and they're all over the water, water systems. No plastic straws. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. But remember.
Like, stop the waitress, though. Yeah, exactly. Don't want your straw, you know.
So, yeah, remember, if you refuse a straw, you're drinking like a man. Because
I will tell you, I make a really good key lime martini, and you know, it's like bright green and
why?
What a girly drink. What a girly drink that is with the alcohol content. I have been told that's a girly drink. Like...
Exactly. It's got four shots of vodka and not a lot else, but okay. It's green and slightly sweet.
And it's, yeah. It's the sweetness, you see. It's right. Sugar so, and spice and all things.
In order to stop this gendering, we need to just, you know, don't believe the charade that we live in and just tell media in the advertising, like.
I'm already like, put pink on something and fuck you. I'm not going to buy it.
OMG. I am the same way. Hello. Right. What's my favorite color? Black and brown and gray and blake. Like, purple. I won't buy these things.
The weird thing is, you go back enough years and people would talk about how. Well, a woman could never wear a fiery, intense color like pink.
Right. It was hilarious, a man's color.
It needs to be blue.
Back when
gentle.
We were forced to eat graham crackers. Right. Yeah, exactly. Sexual, right?
A gentle, heavenly color, serene, blue like the sky. That is the color of women. Whereas pink, that's a fiery, strong man color. It's just.
It's all just.
I say this while I'm
stupidly dumb,
covering in like burgundy.
You're in burgundy.
And pink.
You're in lots
burgundy
of burgundy
and pink and purples and stuff, which are all my favorite colors. So, you know,
it's just the whole idea of slap a color on it, and all of a sudden it makes it one gender versus another gender.
When you know, I buy baby pink, it's stuff I like pink. For friends, like I buy like they have black and red blocks because it's because that's eye what they stimulating. See. Yeah, exactly. Or I buy gender neutral colors. I will not buy any children a color thing. It goes back to the whole baby Y thing. Like, let's try to like raise our children gender free. Like, I don't have kids, but that's, you know, I manipulate the gifts I buy.
Right.
Right. And
I'm doing my small part.
Yeah. And that's actually the thing, because like, you know, you have those pink or blue bedrooms, right? Neither of those colors are good for a tiny baby.
Absolutely not. They're not stimulating at all.
Yeah. Yep. Black and white base with like primary colors.
Throw some
in
reds
spots.
And yep.
That's what they see. What they're like, actually cool.
They can't differentiate any of that. Yeah. Yeah. Humans are dumb animals sometimes.
So, yeah. Okay.
So I just want to reiterate where we got to wrap up, but I want to reiterate that Doxy, the Titties and Clitties is a fundraiser for a homeless backpacking project that you do.
Love a Cunt, Titties and Clitties.
Love a Cunt.
Title in there. Love a Cunt.
Titties and Clitties
is a homeless, it's a project that we do fundraising for Burners Without Borders, Detroit Homeless Backpack Project. All the money goes towards building supplies for that. We may be at PenguCon coming up in May.
Oh, okay,
and we're
great.
Hoping to be at the women's art show that happens at the Tangent. I think it's like March 8th. It's a one-day event.
Are you going to be doing a similar the thing again there? Or are you going to do – okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy to just do it for one day, but whatever. Mm. It's a fun experience. And
I mean – the setup is fairly, you know.
I've got a 10x10 pop-up now that has private walls, and it has a divider, so like it's a completely intimate space. And we create a whole big space at the Dirty Show. Like that's really elaborate there, but now we're portable.
That's great.
So, yeah.
And, awesome. You know, we because, you know, Lee and I are involved in Rotary, so, you know, did Lee talk to you about the thing that we're planning for homeless focus groups?
The wiki? I got the wiki.
Not the wiki. Okay, it's a different thing. We're actually looking to do I'll talk to you afterwards.
Yeah, I was going
to
say we should probably wrap up and talk offline because we do want to bring you in on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we should also talk about – has she talked about the collection of bras? Like I'm collecting bras all through March, giving them to support the girls. There are many locations in the Tri-County area that are taking bras. The Motor City Tattoo Convention this weekend is taking them at Carl Cunningham's booth. And I will have a bunch of bras that I'm taking there. And they're Busted will take them. And there's a few places in the corridor. Uh-huh. Midtown. So, yeah.
So if you support the girls, if you take your old gently used bras and let's say you've gone to Busted and bought a new Jasmine and you want to donate your gently used bras rather than just throwing them out, there are people who can use those who may not otherwise have access. So,
because bras are expensive sometimes.
They can be expensive. Yeah. And so Support the Girls collects those, and I believe they also collect feminine hygiene.
They do,
products.
Yes, correct. So. And we're collecting those as well for them. Yep.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for joining us, Doxy. Hopefully, you can come join us again when Lee is back in town.
Oh my God, I'll join you guys anytime. It's just I'm really bad at mornings.
Yes, we
I'm getting better. I'm getting better.
We all are.
So that was a great episode, and to play us out. God, every time I hear that, I think of Bill O'Reilly now. Anyway, to play us out, here's the vomit spots.